Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Tarot International. The Tarot trainers are experts in helping you and your business to achieve, lead, and outclass in every situation. Learn more at tero.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business, the News Hour. Grateful that you have clicked through again today. With me is Brian Bartz, and Brian works for R.R. Donnelley in the trucking area, and he gave a presentation in Maricopa, Arizona, where we happen to be at, to the National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, and he was talking about some of these remarkable changes and additions to the whole area of shipping that members of that organization, and really anybody that's out there that's shipping whatever it is by truck, you probably need to know about because it is impactful. Brian, welcome to the Business News Hour. Nice to have you here, sir.
Thank you, Michael.
I have to tell you, I was in that seminar that you gave today, and I thought it was outstanding. You really know your business. That shouldn't be a surprise to me, but, you know, if I'm not involved in that business, I know nothing about it, you know, but I was really impressed. Good stuff.
Thank you.
So let's tick down if we can. First of all, how is R.R. Donnelley and shipping? What's the story there?
R.R. Donnelley is our parent company. Our actual company that we work for is DLS Worldwide.
Yes.
And DLS is a subsidiary of R.R. Donnelley. And we our overall business plan is we consider ourselves a leverage platform. And what we're doing is utilizing our parent company, R.R. Donnelley, who is just about a $7 billion company.
Big company.
Transportation contracts and offering them to outside consumers.
That was one of the slides that you put up. You're talking about leverage, and the leverage was how much you can deliver, if you will, not to a pun, but deliver to your customers because of that leverage.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, we utilize our parent company's contracts, not only on the LTL side, but also their contracts/contacts on the truckload side.
That makes sense.
International, parcel, all of it.
All of it.
Yeah,
well, you know, shipping is such an issue. I mean, now with e-commerce just booming all over the place and some retail establishments having trouble keeping up, I imagine that the whole trucking industry has seen just a raft of changes, not only in demand from people who are shipping things, but also demands of speed and demands of accuracy and, yeah, lots of different things.
You know, to expand on that question, Michael, the last 2 years have been some of the most trying years within our industry, dating back to around December of 2017. That is when the Department of Transportation did a SOP mandate on the electronic log.
Yes, and, that was a big thing.
That was a big thing. And I don't think at that time, people thought through how much of an impact that actually would have. But you throw that, a strong economy. By May or June of 2018, we were at a capacity rate of about 130%.
Wow.
And that means for every shipment that's out there, for every 100 shipments that are out there, 30 of them are going to be sitting. So,
you know, let's flesh this out a little bit, because some people may not be aware of what you're talking about when you talk about electronic reporting relative to logs. That up until this time, and it's no secret in the trucking industry, that oftentimes drivers would have two different logs. They would have the legal log, and then they would have the other log. And the other log you were required to take so many hours off, and I get it. But to keep in compliance, that was the way many individuals did that. That all changed.
It did. It totally did. And actually, from what we see now, by them mandating that electronic log, you know, the single carrier, the trucker,
right,
going down the road, they couldn't make a living, or they didn't think they could make a living based doing it legally.
Really?
So,
because they were so ingrained in the other way?
They were so ingrained and, running illegally, which obviously put a safety hazard out
right
there. But because rates have gotten so beaten down that they were running, maybe 20, 30, 40, 50, 60% over what their required hours are.
Wow. And that is a danger.
It is a danger. Yeah.
All right, let's tick down some of these changes that have been propagated recently that you were talking about today in your seminar. Go ahead and just start kicking them off, and I'll probably have questions about them.
Well, you know, as we were talking about the capacity in the industry, things have leveled out since, you know, June of 2018. But one of the things, we're still in a driver shortage.
Yes. That's got to be a real pressure on the industry.
It is. Right now, the experts within the industry are telling us we're 100,000 drivers short.
Wow.
And trucking companies obviously have the assets to be able to move the freight out in the country. But if they don't have the drivers or their personnel, you know, it does them no good.
So let me ask you about that, because there's a friend of mine, by the way, he happens to be running for president. His name is Andrew Yang. And Andrew Yang talks often about how technology is going to take over when it takes a look at over-the-road trucking, especially long haul, not necessarily in a community or in a city, but those long hauls from coast to coast will soon, he says, come under the constraints of automation.
You know, I've heard that too, and I'm sure somewhere down the road it's going to work. But if you have a loaded vehicle or a loaded semi at 80,000, or maybe some of them up to 100,000, depending on the state and where they're commissioned at, would you feel safe having that you know, out on the road by itself? That's to me, and again, I'm in the industry of trying to get things moved from point A to point B.
Right.
But that's scary.
Yeah, it is scary.
And I don't want my family or me on that road if there's black ice, you know, some of those environmental issues that could cause that trailer or tractor trailer to go.
It's going to take some time, I think, to prove out.
Exactly.
And in between that and now, you have 100,000 drivers short. That's got to impact the business. But people can make a decent living driving truck. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. There's a lot of companies now actually paying people to attend driving schools.
Yeah.
And we'll pay for them to go through that, and along with you know, a signing bonus.
Right.
You know, so.
So it can be lucrative.
It can be.
Yeah.
It can be.
His name is Brian Bartz, ladies and gentlemen. He is with DLS Worldwide. That is a subsidiary of RR Donnelly. All right, so driver shortage. What else have you got in your bag of tricks here that is impacting your business?
Well, a couple other issues that we foresee that has really changed over the last few years is the actual rates of LTL or LTL rates. You know, back in the 1930s, the Department of Transportation established what they called a class for anything that was shipped.
Okay.
And right now, the United States is the only country that I'm aware of that really has this class, but this class is outdated. So,
can you give an example of what's outdated? There?
What's outdated? Well, back in the 30s, or let's even take it at 1980. In 1980, if you had a 65-inch TV,
well, that's a big TV in 1980.
That's exactly right. That's probably a 400-500-pound TV.
Right.
Now you take that 65-inch flat-screen TV. What's the weight going to be?
30, 40, 50 pounds, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So the system's outdated, and right now the trucking industry is actually trying to implement a density-based rating process.
So rather than weight, go to density. Yeah. So how much space you have in the truck.
That's exactly right. Space and valuation. Because even though it might not be very heavy, that product might be very...
very expensive.
Very valuable.
Mm. Yep. All right. So rather than categorize things by weight, taking a look at density and also value. All right. Well, that's a big change.
It is a
How
big
does
change.
That impact shippers?
Well, right now, you know, most shippers are accustomed to doing things, you know, to when they were established, they were probably been doing things for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Been doing it the same way. And all of a sudden, the industry now is changing, and these shippers are having a tough time adapting to potentially the new rates
right.
that are being established out there.
All right, Brian, one of the things that you talked about in your seminar, and I may be jumping ahead and I'm sorry for this, but you were talking about how things are packaged for transport. That, too, is a recommendation from your company and changes, yes?
Yes. You know, the old way of doing things, you know, you could simply put it on a pallet and, you know, ship it from point A to point B. Well, the Department of Transportation actually has outlines of how it should be shipped, and now the carriers from an LTL and truckload are actually starting to follow suit based on what those guidelines are.
Really?
And with that being said, there's a lot of companies that are shipping things underpackaged, they're getting damaged, and now the carriers aren't paying for them. For the damage. And
so is this an issue that was supposed to help shippers preserve the integrity of whatever it is that they're shipping, or was it also something to assist the trucking companies in maybe saying, okay, look, this is not packaged correctly. We can't insure it, or we're not going to cover that until it's done correctly.
Ultimately, I think it's for the transportation company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to make sure that they can maximize the amount of space in the trailers, and if it's properly packaged, they can not only, you know, ensure that that will have a safe transition down the road, but they might be able to put other freight around it and or on top of it.
Sure.
And maximize.
Now, at your group, DLS, do you help shippers understand those new rules?
We do. We do many seminars with our customers or existing customers. We're on site quite a bit, educating them about these new rules and helping them understand and adapt. Because, again, they're not going away.
Right. Well, another thing, I'm just going to blow into this because I found this fascinating as well. You were talking about one company that that they make sure that they take photos of what's being shipped. So for insurance purposes, if somebody questions whether or not it's packaged correctly or what it looked like when it left the yard or whatever, that they've got some proof.
Yeah, we actually have a customer that sends out on average 600 to 700 shipments on a monthly basis between about 6 or 7 different facilities. And they implemented, through our recommendation, they implemented a process where they take pictures of that product on the scale and off the scale. And if there ever is a dispute from the carrier, we have the evidence to help them go back. And whether it's a packaging issue, if the carrier is not trying to decline a claim based on packaging, or even if it's a reweigh that the carriers might incorrectly reweigh that product, we have that information available.
Yeah, and that's another protection for the shipper, I would imagine. And people, I mean, it doesn't take a lot of time to do that, but it is insurance.
No, it doesn't, but it certainly does take time, and it does take, you know, obviously computer space. You know, each picture has to be downloaded, saved, you know, for X amount of, you
sure.
know, X amount of months.
Sure.
But it's something that this customer has felt has saved them, you know, tenfold.
What about technology in the shipping industry? I remember you were saying something about scanners being employed. Talk to us about that.
Well, there more and more carriers are now going to what we call a density machine. And these decks...
That's all right.
These density machines are hung from the ceiling, and as the carrier brings the product off the trailer, they'll place them under the density machine, and that density machine will take pictures of the product, and then on top of it, they'll do a quick scan and figure out what the density is.
Wow.
And as these carriers are trying to push the density rating,
yeah.
They have the density certificate, and they'll change the rate based off that.
That's amazing.
It is.
It really is. Yeah, technology is changing so much about what we do. What else? Anything else that that sticks out in your mind relative to what's going on in the trucking industry?
You know, going back, besides the density, packaging is a big issue.
Yeah.
And again, the old way of doing things on the packaging side of shipping things out, that's a big issue right now within the industry. And if you're a customer, The way you did things 10 years ago just is not going to work any longer.
You know, you mentioned something else. It just came to me. Bills of lading. Mm-hmm. And those have to be, what, absolutely correct?
Well, I'm glad you pointed that out. I actually forgot about that. But, yes, we did a study, and we found that over 70% of all errors that occur on an LTL shipment is due to an incorrect bill of lading.
Wow.
And that can consist of having the wrong street address to having the incorrect dimensions on the product or the incorrect NMSC number on the bill of lading. So we continue to educate our customers that as long as they do it right the first place, you know, you're getting off on the right foot to begin with.
Got it. His name is Brian Bartz, ladies and gentlemen. He is with DLS Worldwide, and he has been speaking to a group called the National Tractor Parts Dealer Association in Maricopa, Arizona, about these changes in freight. And I found it, again, some interesting conversation earlier today, and it does impact everybody that is shipping anything. Brian, thanks so much for spending some time with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Once again, that was Brian Bartz. Brian is with DLS Worldwide, and we will have a link to that company up on our radio blog. Well, that about wraps it up for another broadcast day. Thanks so very much for being with us. For all of us associated with the Business News Hour, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing falls to Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett from Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Brian Bartz, my name is Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.